flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the last 5 years. Now, he's been coaching in the National Football League, but up until that point, we'd have him on all the time.
Unlimited access.
Yeah, talking about a variety of stuff. But he is Chuck Smith.
Hey, man, that's Big Chuck Smith,
Joe. Appreciate you, fellas.
And,
it's good to be back. I haven't been back in a minute.
It's been a while.
In studio.
Especially in studio. He is the pass rush coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we know they just lost in the playoffs. But for those of you who don't know, Chuck, obviously, Atlanta Falcon, lives here in Atlanta. So he gets a little time, and, man, we are so appreciative of you saying, hey, I want to come by and hang out. So thank you, first and foremost. Now I want to give the numbers, Mike, before we get into the meat of this, because the Ravens played the Chiefs this year. The Ravens played the Bills this year. The Ravens played the Commanders this year. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens played the Eagles. Who better to have insight into what's going to potentially go down this weekend than this guy right here, Chuck Smith? By the way, 2023, the Ravens were first in sacks in the NFL.
He got you Davion Clowney paid. Got a
Sixth,
new deal.
He owes you some money. 2024, Mike, second in sacks in the National Football League. He is the pass rush coach. And by the way, this position is now something that's happening around the NFL because of this guy.
You know what, Carl? This guy's made millions of dollars coaching pass rush, putting guys in the league, getting guys ready for the combine.
Here you go. Man, first and foremost, how you feeling? You guys were close. You got the Ravens were really good. And I know it hurts, but you guys are right there.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, especially the finality of it. When the season, when it's over, it's over. And when that clock hits zero and you realize that you're not going to win the game, you know, you start thinking about back to scratch. You know what I mean? Especially when, you know, the expectations are like ours.
Super Bowl.
And you expect, and that's just how it goes. But the finality of it is like start from scratch. It's tough. You know what I mean? But you win and you lose. And that's the beauty of it. And the NFL season's set up to see who the weak are, to find out who the best are. So there's going to be 31 other teams that want to be the champion. But our time is coming.
I know, Chuck, you've had some great wins in your career, some heartbreaking losses like any great athlete. You know, coming back from Miami with those Falcons, that'd be tough. I couldn't imagine that plane ride coming back from Buffalo, man. I mean, it seemed like that would just be such a brutal experience.
Nah, you know, at the end of the day, man, guys stick together. We got a real mature team, you know, so they understand, you know, how you win and why you lose and things like that. But nah, them dudes ain't like, man, they are already thinking about, you know, how to get better. That's the mindset of that organization. It's not looking back. You know, looking forward, we got some dudes, you know. It just happened that way.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't go your way. Chuck Smith in studio with us, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for the AFC-NFC Championship games. I want to ask you about Kansas City. I want to start there. You guys played them early in the year. I think it was the first game of the year. Mm-hmm. They win 27-20. I'm just curious, like, what is this thing with Mahomes? That we continue to see, and whether it's at the beginning of the year, they came here and played the Falcons and escaped. I mean, like, we thought we should have won that game. But nevertheless, Chuck, just generally speaking about the Chiefs, man, like, you've seen these guys, and as I said, it was early in the season. Has a lot changed with their team, do you think, now that we see them in the AFC Championship game?
I mean, listen, people always talk about the Chiefs and we want to knock them off. This is, what, 7 straight AFC Championships? Come on now. I mean, everybody keeps saying, they're not a good team. Who done beat them?
Right.
Seven straight. So when you look at this team, man, they're fantastic. Patrick Mahomes, they're super smart. You know, when you know, especially trying to game plan against a guy like that, he knows, you know, about your coverage. He knows he's just super smart, and they're on the same page. And those guys are, you know, phenomenal. And the offensive line, they're one of the best offensive lines in the league. They're fantastic.
We always know about, you know, the offense puts fannies in the seats, but the defense, I mean, the defensive line, and it's almost like, you know, they just grind out the wins this year. But Karlaftis has been a nice piece. Chris Jones didn't have a great year statistically, but talk about what they're doing defensively with the Chiefs.
Well, I just like what, you know, Spags does. You know, Spagnuolo is one of the best, you know, coordinators in the game. And, you know, the thing about he does a good job with rushing coverage. Those guys get after the quarterback. You know, great coverage guys. And the thing about it, they play as a team. That's the most important part. You want everybody doing their 1 of 11. Mm-hmm. And that's, man, you watch that team. They don't make the mistakes. You never see anybody go over top on them. So, you know, you just give them a lot of credit. Plus, again, listen, they're a grown folk defense. You know, that's what I call it, like our guys.
Yeah.
You know, like the Steelers. Man, we grown folks. So, you know, with the grown folks, they're going to come one way or another. They're going to be coming each and every week. So when you look at the dominant D-lines and the guys who dominate, they grown folks. They ain't got a lot of young guys out there that, I didn't get the call. Oh, I missed my assignment. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So when you really look at the teams that are in it, they got, like, mature, grown men that are going to come to play.
It's Chuck Smith, guys, in studio with us talking about the games and just his experience this year. Again, pass rush coach for the Baltimore Ravens. And by the way, just out of curiosity, for those who don't know, there's been this level of success with the Ravens. Starts with Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
I can't say enough about Mr. Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, first and foremost. Everything he does is for the players. It's all about winning. Every day, the things that they have put together for the players, you know, the facilities. Mm. I know they got 5-star. If 5-star is the highest, it's 8-star. People want to be there. You know, the players want to be there. And that's where it starts. And then Harbaugh, I can't say enough, man. This dude is an incredible mind. He knows every level of the defense, of the offense, of the special teams, of how to do things. And the players just really love him, you know, and the way he manages, you know, the practices and all the stuff like that. John is phenomenal. Just the whole Harbaughs, they just love ball. And every second of the day, it's always about ball. And I respect that about John. And you see why the organization wins. And then you see why. And it's John. You know what I'm saying? And Eric and the players, we got some headbusters now.
Got some guys.
I ain't gonna lie.
You got some dudes.
And they prime. So, right. You know, but it goes out to really Coach Harbaugh, man. He's phenomenal. He brought me in and said, you know what, hey, Chuck, I believe in you. I've known you for a long time. You were in the Bill Walsh program, he told me. I'm going to give you this opportunity. John seen the vision.
Right.
About there's a position of a pass rush coach that has significant value, you know, and John being really the first to put a person like me in that position of doing a lot more than just pass rush, you know, as far as that. So scheming and game planning and stuff. So John Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti are phenomenal, incredible, and that's one of the reasons everybody wants to be there.
We've talked about, you know, cultures and teams and, you know, Ozzie Newsome, you know, what he did there and what, you know, again, the studs on defense going all the way back to Ray Lewis and everybody who's played on that team. It seemed like Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed, all these guys. It's just like it's a personality. It defines. And now you've got Lamar and you still got that defense. It's something, and guys are already hitting us up on the text line. Why wasn't Chuck ever a D coach for the Falcons? Well, maybe we'll cover that later in the program. But it just seems like you're a tremendous resource. And it's a shame that we just didn't get to utilize you here. But now you're paying dividends at the next level, man.
Man, this is a blessing for me. This is my dream. You know what I'm saying? To teach the art of pass rush. But I'm glad it's with the Ravens. You can't be luckier than me.
Mm.
The way they have, you know, teach me and groom me and know my strengths and my weaknesses. And that's John. You know, come and say, hey, here's what you do really well. Let's put you in position to have success. That's John Harbaugh. That's the vision. That's Mike McDonald. Hey, Chuck, this is what you need to do. You know, Zach Orr now.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, our D coordinator. You know what I'm saying? Dean Pease comes in dropping knowledge on me.
He was an analyst, right?
He came in to help support, you know, just from the standpoint of a support system.
Yeah.
And
Dean Pease, guys, was here with Arthur Smith.
Did a nice job making lemonade at 11s when we had the cap hit year and two.
And he's teaching. I mean, he's around, you know, because he was a Raven, you know, for a long time. And so, but just the culture, the way the schedule works, the way we travel, the way they treat you. And I've seen it as a player and as a coach. I just see why they win. I see why all the coaches leave and get jobs and head jobs and things like that and coordinators and, you know, so it's just a credit to how they run the organization. The culture is phenomenal, man, and I can't say enough about it.
Two AFC North titles, guys, by the way, while Chuck's been there leading that pass rush and that defensive line. And sacks matter. Mike and I, we've had this conversation all year.
Sacks don't matter,
about
Carl.
About Mike our Smith team. Here, and, you know, look, we try to say, Chuck, for me, I've said, it's when these sacks happen. Right. Mike has said, we just don't get enough of them.
Well, it got to come down. You know what has got to happen, Carl? Third down.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. When you get third down is a very key, Chuck, for getting a sack, isn't it?
Of course it is. Absolutely. I'm waiting for the question.
No, we don't do that.
We just don't do enough of it.
For like decades.
But here's the thing.
Carl looked at me like I got the answer. I'm like, he looking like.
Well,
was I supposed to ask the question?
No,
I don't even know.
No, you're looking at us because you know what we know, and that's fine. But as far as, you know, how do you create that? And I guess that's what I'm asking. Right. We got to take a quick break. Orin, I know we got to come back. I want to ask you, how do you create this? We need more of it. And as a matter of fact, Mike, we just hired our new defensive line coach.
Nate Olley, who is with Jeff Ulbrich with the Jets, just most recently with the Texans.
He comes down. D-line. Okay. So we're going to ask
I know him.
You know Coach Olley. All right.
Yes, sir.
We're going to ask you from your experience and what you're doing with the Ravens. Guys, 60 sacks last year, second in the league this year.
How many?
60.
We don't get that in 2 years, man.
We'll talk to Chuck Smith when we come back.
Stop, Mike. Y'all stop that. Y'all stop that. Man. Y'all are crazy.
We continue to break down what we expect to happen and get an inside look from a guy who has had a chance to face all four of these teams, and Chuck Smith, who is the pass rush coach for the Baltimore Ravens, in studio with us here. And we talked about it. Played the Chiefs, the Commanders. We'll talk about Jaden Daniels in a minute. Obviously played the Bills, and they just lost last week in the divisional round. Mm. And then they played the Eagles as well. So he has, you know, gotten a good look at all of these teams. Chuck, we were talking about pass rush and you know, our Falcons, that's a whole other story. But we keep talking about how you create this stuff. Is there a magical formula? What do you do? How do we create more of what we need to get there?
Well, I can't speak for the Falcons.
Sure.
I'm just in general, like from the standpoint how I see it, you know, how we want to work as far as development. The first thing is recognizing, is he a dog? First thing I want to know in any of them pass rush, anybody work, is he a dog? Well, where you come out, I'm talking about a goon. I'm talking about coming out no matter who
correct.
You play.
Yes.
That's the first start.
You got about six of them on your team.
Nah, we got it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to recognize what they are.
That's important.
Okay.
The right Jims and Joes.
Right. Yeah. Because you're playing against Philly and you walk up against that O-line, man. It's like, if you ain't got no dog,
you're going to get
beat. It's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Week in and week out. That's the first thing. And then a learning attitude. Are you willing to learn different things? Because everybody's going to tell you a lot. There's a million different pass rush people and now trainers and karate guys and all that are involved in the process. So is he willing to learn and listen and understand? Because if he doesn't have a learning heart, he's not going to be open to developing new pass rush moves, because there's going to be a lot of people outside of that pulling, you know, these pass rusher strings, whether in high school, college, or pro.
Sure. And by the way, I want to say this because we don't assume everybody knows. Chuck mentions karate guys. There's a lot of hand action.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not making a joke. That is actual.
Hand fighting. They're
actual guys.
There you go. Way to clean it up.
Okay.
Appreciate you hooking that up, taking care of that.
Yeah.
Because people are like, karate guys.
Yeah.
Karate man. Karate man moves on the inside.
My bad.
No, but it's real. Okay.
Yeah, it's real. It's real.
It's up. Good.
But then at the end of the day, you got to look at this. To me, teaching them how to use high-performance pass rush moves, right?
Which is what you were doing before you got into or back into the NFL as a coach.
Yeah, that's how I got here, you know, being a trainer. You know, I mean, and it's a passion I always had, teaching the art of pass rush. It's something that I've, you know, studied since I was probably about 10 years old, you know. But look, so then at the end of the day, teaching those high-performance skill moves that will translate on the field, you know. But it's like a curriculum. When you teach it, you start – there's a glossary. Then you look at, you know, there's a front table. I'm sorry, table of contents. It's like, here's where we start. All right. Teach them getting a front loaded stance. Okay. Okay. Where should your hand be? Where should your eyes be? You know, how eventually teach them how to break down protections, things like that, which really takes you to another level as a pass rusher. You know, that's important, you know, and looking at things like that. Cause, and not stereotyping the pass rusher, meaning you're a big guy.
Right.
Big guys, doesn't matter. In the NFL, big guys rush, little guys rush, all guys rush.
It is Big Chuck Smith. This guy's live in studio, pass rush specialist from the Baltimore Ravens. And in the old days, we get to spill the tea, but of course, Chuck is now working, Carl, for the NFL team.
Yes.
So we can't get into specifics about guys in the draft. We can't talk about other players.
No.
So all we can do is paint with some broad strokes. So let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. What when you're in a 3-4 defense, you need some basics, right? You need to have some big space grabbers. What do you need? You need some big dudes to help the other guys succeed.
You want some big boys, yeah.
But what is a team that has a 3-4 really looking for?
Traditionally, again, just speaking in general about just the actual scheme, you know, it's just really big guys. You want big guys in the middle, you know, big, super big guys that can hold the point, keep their shoulders square and things like that. And to me, that's the definition of the 3-4, the big guys, you know, holding up blocks and the linebackers making the plays.
Right. Complimentary football.
Yeah. No doubt. And by the way, just to put this in perspective, too, for Chuck and what he's talking about with, you know, recognizing guys and you had 7 players with career highs in 2 years. Is that right?
Thank the Lord.
Is that right? And some of those, and Mike mentioned, like Jadeveon went there. I think he was there for a year.
Right? JD got that dog in him.
And then he left and got a bag. But that's 7 players, Mike, with career highs in over a 2-year span.
I'm blessed. I got some good dudes now. I got, you know, I mean, you think like JD was there, Kyle Van Noy, guys are smart.
Van Noy,
You know, Beeks and all those guys, you know, give them a lot of credit. Give an organization a lot of credit, too. Those guys are like draft picks. That's something that's phenomenal. Like, when you think about the team, most of those guys on the D-line, they're draft picks. And even like Kyle Hamilton and Nate and all those guys that we have playing are draft picks.
Right, yeah. We're drafted by the organization. Chuck, what about let's talk about Jaden Daniels. Mike and I have been fascinated with this kid, man.
Right.
We watched him at LSU. We know out of the draft, we knew we weren't going to be at one or two, even though we thought he was the best quarterback potentially coming out. Now, you know, again, there were rumors out there about us taking Michael Penix, and, you know, I talked to Mike about that like the day before the draft, and then it played out. But the fact is, Jaden Daniels is on the doorstep of leading his team to the Super Bowl as a rookie. It's never been done. You guys saw the Commanders, won that game 30-23. Talk about his skill set, if you would, and what makes him special, man.
Look at Carl. He looking down, Mike. I know he wanted to throw some numbers out there, but look, he ain't trying to hurt my feelings. Look,
No. I'm not going to throw it out there. I'm not going to throw it out there.
He has some numbers out there, Jaden Daniels. But dude is phenomenal. And speaking on just my opinion, right. Speaking for myself, you know, he's phenomenal. He's just, you know, just his way he handles himself in the pocket.
Poised. Yeah.
Yeah, he can move. And as a pass rush coach, I mean, he's dangerous. Guys who can run, it's just amazing the guys in the league now that can run. So that's just a whole nother weapon. And he's one, this new generation, they ain't running the slide. They run to take it to the house.
Right.
You know, so a guy like that, you know, give him a lot of credit, give Q a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. Q's done a good job, you know, with the Commanders. And, I mean, quarterbacks are the ones carrying these teams now. Right. I'm happy they, you know, finally got one. It's good to see, you know, that organization kind of be in the mix.
Yeah,
after all
get
years.
Back to
the mobile quarterbacks giving us, I mean, our franchise, you know, last year, over the years, trouble and gave us fits.
Yeah.
And we got to see Mike Vick up close. We know what it can be. And as far as a mismatch, it just seems like, and we saw it in the Tampa Bay game, we were talking about it last hour, they tried to spy him. They had like, and at one point, they had two dudes spying, which to me, now all sorts of things open up.
Hey, listen, spy, these quarterbacks now, they're so good at runners, you can't even hardly spy them. These dudes are just great runners.
Mm.
All of them. That's the league is made up now, you know. So there's a transition going on in the league with all these running quarterbacks. You got to have big guys that can kind of collapse the pocket. You got to have guys that can chase down these guys. So,
what about these old lines in these games this weekend? I mean, the Bills. You just saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a really good offensive line. People talk about.
I start with the Bills. Look,
I'm just saying.
Chuck,
let's talk about your most recent failure.
No, I mean,
the Bills. I mean, these old lines.
He didn't say it like that. The Bills. He said, the Bills.
Why are you clowning? You silly.
He's got dramatic with that.
But it's the
Chuck. Let's talk about this loss of the Bills.
But it's the truth. But what do you think about their O lines? Because again, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Is there a team? Do you feel like one of these teams has an advantage that point?
I don't know about advantage. I'll just give you a description of them.
Okay.
Because that ain't my place. You know what I'm saying? When Harbaugh gave me the permission to be on the radio,
sure.
So I'm gonna make sure I show respect to that from a team standpoint. But just ask me what team, and I'll tell you about them. What's O line?
Bills.
Got some dogs on the O line. They get after it. Edwards. They're solid on the run and pass protection. They're some dogs.
Eagles.
They also some dogs.
Right.
They're some dogs.
They're the biggest offensive line, pound for pound in the league.
It's some alpha dogs.
Right. Okay.
Times 10.
Okay.
I mean, give them, those guys are bruisers. Mindset. Beat you up. Want to be physical. If you can't man up to them, it's going to be tough. To me, the Eagles are dogs. They're in the same category. Category again, mm-hmm. dogs, credit, great offensive lines.
Yeah, I think, guys, and the reason why, you know, we talk about the defensive stuff, obviously, but Mike, you got to protect the quarterback. You still got to be able to run the ball.
We got a good offensive line here. When you're, you know, the glory years of the Falcons that you were here, we had, you know, the bomb squad we talk about all the time. You guys, some of the big, those are, I know you talk about size, those are huge guys. Travis was huge. You know, those are big dudes, man. And the offensive line was just rough and tumble. Guys like Toback and those guys are just rough and mean and just gnarly on that old line.
All right, I can speak on my old Falcon stuff.
Yes, you're all allowed to speak about the old Falcons.
I can speak on that stuff. Yeah. Look, these dudes today in the game, compared to when we played, these dudes are massive. Mm. We have big dudes. The new NFL, these dudes are massive. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To me, the body size and strength and all that stuff is really taken to another level. This to me is just this incredible group of NFL players. You're just looking at greatness, especially this year. So many incredible players that are defining what the position should look like, and not even just necessarily pass rush.
Right.
You know, a receiver, you got guys, this incredible group of old linemen that are spread throughout the league. Running backs are back. You know, it's just people watching this was one of the special years, in my opinion, because of so many records being broken and storylines and teams, you know what I mean, with things going on. You like, you think about the three-peat with Kansas City, you think about with Derek and you know what I'm saying, Saquon worked on. You think about the rushers, you think about some of the guys breaking records, the receivers. You know, the record being broken. Joe Burrow, you look at it, you know, even Lamar, all these records. To me, this has been, is maybe, in my opinion, watching since I've been watching, coaching, being a trainer, this is the greatest year ever with the storylines in NFL history.
It's a lot.
This is me as a broadcaster, kind of like it. I was just being broadcaster.
No, it's a lot, Chuck. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Chuck Smith joining us in studio, guys. We got another segment with him. But when we come back, I do want to ask you, as we're talking about all these things in the AFC NFC championship games, you know, this weekend, but I do want to ask you about watching Derrick Henry. I don't think people realize how big he is. First and foremost, we just see it on TV and you take for granted. Most people didn't, you know, you didn't walk up on him in Alabama And when he was with Tennessee running for all those yards, you're like, yeah, this is a big man running full speed at you, and you have to find a way to get him down. All right, I want to ask you about watching him when we come back.
Right. And we'll also show you, now we can't get into specifics, but it looks like everyone's earmarked this draft class as being really, really good for defensive line. We'll see if Chuck concurs with that when we come back.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad to have you here on a Friday. I told you earlier in the show, special guest is going to stop by, pass rush coach for the Baltimore Ravens, Chuck Smith. And he's a longtime friend of the show, guys, and has been a guest of our show for years and was teaching pass rush here in the ATL and,
yeah.
You know, played for our Falcons as well. But
Hold on. Don't forget the day these mics cracked at 92.9 that day I was on.
It's true.
That's right.
That was my other.
It's true.
Know. Journalist days is what it's
called.
Journalist? Shout out to Steak. Shout out to Steak Shapiro, who gave me my first job.
There it is.
Retired from the NFL. Down the street.
That's right.
Mike was there acting up, but shout out to Steak, Sandra.
Yeah, man.
Sandra was actually kind of role modeled me a little bit back when we were doing like Fox South college football.
Right, right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Old school.
And by the way,
old school.
Part of the V103 family as well, man. So
yeah, too.
I don't want to leave that out. Right. But so Chuck's in studio with us, and we're talking about just aspects of the games and things and different things. His team, the Ravens, who just lost last week, they played all these teams, so we're just getting some perspective. But I was talking about how big Derrick Henry is. Like, if you see him walking down the hall, you think he was a what? DN?
Like an outside backer.
Yes.
A big outside backer.
Easy.
DN.
And, you know, this year you talked about Saquon running for 2,000 yards. But Derrick Henry, man, I mean, look, he came there. I thought he had a tremendous season for the Ravens. But just talk a little bit about that guy, man, because he's special.
He's a pro's pro, first and foremost. He comes to work every day and puts it in. And his diet and how he goes about his routine, like people see on some people that follow the game see on TV, he is serious, disciplined, takes care of his body. Comes to practice, he's a leader, runs hard, gives great effort. He's everything, you know, you'd want in a player and as a teammate. I can't say enough about Derek.
Right. And he also tows living room sets around the field. That's a TV commercial. Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
I did ask him. I was like, man, how heavy was that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Had it on wheels.
Yeah, had it on wheels.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin the mystery and the magic of the TV commercial. Hey, man. As Chuck always goes, Mike always brings it back to the Falcons, because I do. Real quick, a fellow, you know, DC/D-line man, Nate Ollie, he's with Ulbrich. He's been around. He's just a solid guy for what we're trying to do here.
Now, I can speak on him.
Yes, feel free.
Man, I love Nate. Man, that's a great signing for the Falcons. I mean, my thing is, he relates. He's been around. He's done, you know, put in the work, and he knows his pass rush stuff. He knows his run. I mean, it's a great hire. And I know him, so that's why I can talk on that.
Yeah,
he's a new D line coach for guys who missed the news.
Yeah, new D line coach. And come on, man, Brick. I know Brick. I know was we in Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
Were he in Cincinnati?
No, recently it's Jets.
No, I'm saying when he was an assistant with Cincinnati the Jets.
Jets.
But he was with Cincy first, too, right?
Before, yes. You're talking about, you're going back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going back when Marvin Lewis
correct.
Was at Cincy.
You're going
right?
back.
No, nah, Seattle. No, Seattle. It was Seattle Falcons and then Jets. UCLA.
Yeah. UCLA. Okay. UCLA.
Another white guy with a beard.
Nah, I'm trying to think. You know, I had a few hits to the head. Where was I? Where I was being around Brick. I don't.
Yeah. He anyway, was he was here. He was here with Quinn back in the day, of course.
Well, definitely wasn't here then. Yeah. Wasn't here then.
No.
No, I wasn't, but you know.
No. Sorry. Yeah, but
so, he was in the league. He was in the league when you were in the league. He was with the 49ers. He was like a backup linebacker.
But I'm talking about as a coach.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. I know him.
Well,
he's a good coach. I'm excited for the crew.
I've said this when it comes to whether it's been Ra or Jeff Ulbrich now coming in as the new DC. There was this thing that was attached to Rob because he was here when DQ was here and we lost the Super Bowl, right? And he takes over once DQ leaves as an interim coach. And I've said this. That's like you coming into my house and taking over my marriage. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work, right? That's why interim coaches, it's hard for them to get these jobs. But Rob leaves. He goes and wins the Super Bowl with the Rams. He becomes a DC, and he had all this experience. Right. And now he's back. And the first thing I said is, the slate is clean. Like, he's coming in. He's going to hire his guys. He's going to bring in his people. we have to give him a shot there. And I know you can't necessarily comment on all of this. I'm just talking out loud here, Chuck, about this as we're talking about Jeff Ulbrich. But Brick is the same way. Like, Mike and I spent all week talking about this hire. At the end of the day, Falcon fans, we got to buck up. And now, hey, we got to get this right.
I mean, I wanted somebody outside the company, but that's not how it works. Guys hire guys they know, and that's how it works. Yeah. And Jeff's qualified, certainly. He's shown that.
Yeah, but
I just like somebody to shake it up.
Yeah, I can speak on the dudes, man. Yeah. Like I said, I just talk about Nate. He's good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know Rod. Rod, good coach. You know what I'm saying? Brick. I know from being around the way, you know, he's a good coach as well. So, to me, you got good coaches. You know, so, and I know them dudes, and that's the start. And, you know, so, I mean, I like it. Especially, I love Nate, man. Brother Nate. Good young gunner going to get it cracking out there.
I hope so, because, Chuck, I've been talking about, you know, we got a lot of young guys. We need development. We need somebody to help with that.
We drafted a whole bunch of guys on D-line. Some don't even know what we got.
Yeah. So I don't know how good they are going to be quite yet.
Hey, what about this class, this draft? I mean, because obviously you now it's the second half begins. For you and Ray, everybody else will be looking at guys. Is it as good a D-line class as they're saying it is?
Look at him. He already jumped to the draft.
You already know.
He got me. You know, I'm in here. Nah, I don't even know. We just got done. I got 10 days off to come
home. Well, on a Saturday when you're watching TV, have you seen some guys that might look good at the next level?
Actually, nope. I actually haven't. I don't. You know what I mean?
Because you've been so singular focused?
Yeah, I used to think back in the day when I wasn't a coach. Yeah, coaches be watching football, you know. Who? Man, I am. Who? What?
You've been focused on Josh. You've been focused on Josh Allen.
Yeah, you're like, what? Who?
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, look, we're gonna have plenty of time to break that down. I know we have our thoughts about, obviously, you know, what guys we think we'd like to have here, and what guys are gonna go high in the draft. But that's all still yet to be determined. Let me ask you this, man, because this is something that somebody just asked me. Where's Chuck want to be? What do you want to do moving forward? I'm not saying you don't want to be the Ravens, but I'm saying, like, do you have aspirations to be a head coach? Somebody said, does he want to be a head coach? What do you want to do?
I just want to be the pass rush coach for the Ravens. That's all I'm focused on right now. That's all I care about. I'm where I need to be. Man, I ain't trying to leave Baltimore. Nowhere. There's nowhere. I'm a Raven. Locked in. We locked in, man. This is a bit, we all part of this big story. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Raven. And I'm going to do everything I can do to help us win a Super Bowl. That's what it's about. Simple as that. So, I ain't interested in no job. I got opportunities last year, man. Please, I'd be crazy. We got number 8,
right?
Again, it's real. Got number 8, and so in the way they treat me, I want to continue to be there for a while. I mean, Harbs and EDC give me this blessing, this opportunity, and then we got dudes that don't hurt either. You know, okay, I'm gonna stay. We got these guys. We got dudes, and then I don't even think about that. I've never once thought about what I wanted. Because in Baltimore, man, it's not about what I want. It's about what we all want. And it's starting again, and we hitting that thing head on.
It is Big Chuck Smith with this guy's former Falcon edge rusher, captain of the Bob Squad. We're hanging this for an hour on Dukes and Bell. And we were just talking with Chuck during the commercial break. Baltimore a lot like Atlanta in the sense of the makeup of the city and the vibe, how passionate people are. It's like it's just football. That's why, like, I feel for the. I know you just lost to Buffalo. I feel for the Bills fans because they've been taking the cods for decades. But Ravens fans, I mean, at least you have 2 Super Bowl rings up there, in Baltimore. Right. But those fans right now with Lamar want to see him lead you to the promised land.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all NFL teams are passionate. You know, the thing about it, only one team is going to be happy at the end, or should be.
Right.
You know, everybody else just fall in line. So really, we're all the same. Falcon fans, you know, Ravens flock is incredible. Got one of the great fan bases. They travel everywhere. So everybody wants that ring, and I'm just focused on getting one in Baltimore.
Hey, well, we're moving into the championship weekend, AFC, NFC. I think it's fun because every time we used to always get into this at least once a year with you, that 98, 99 season, 99 Carl January up at the hump, it was the Metrodome in Minneapolis. And one of the great, I mean, of all time, one of the great NFC, if not one of the if the greatest, because of the Cowboys and 49ers had, but the year we upset Minnesota, that had to be just unbelievable, man.
That's the greatest game I ever played in. The one that's most important to me as well as to Atlanta. Our whole goal was to be relevant below Jimmy Carter. Back in the day, we'd be like, hey, man, Jesse, man, Hammer, we got to be more relevant below Jimmy Carter. That was like a joke because we was always sorry.
Right.
We said when we become more relevant below Jimmy Carter, the fans will come back. And in 98, that was part of that's a whole other story about,
right.
You know, we were little marketers and had guys that danced and We had to do some stuff.
Right, the Dirty Birds, that game, and that was like the perfect game. I mean, from a fan standpoint, yeah. It was like on both sides of the football, it was the perfect Falcon game.
Yeah, it was. We ran the ball. We kept hammering. We were stopping them. Yeah, I still have people, some of the old heads, talk right. about, you know, that game. But I can't lie. I think the biggest thing about that game I remember, to me, and I'm going to go to Carl, it was about the fans. Golly, I ain't gonna lie. It was more important when you see just Atlanta, how they folks treated us, and you know, you from the South, or you know, and the teams down South didn't win championships. You know, won a lot of Super Bowls between Tampa and mm-hmm. you know what I mean.
Didn't matter where Dolphins. You were on the street. Didn't matter.
Yep, it was like we wanted to be relevant, be proud. You know, from that kind of that standpoint. And That was the most important part of 98, what it did for our fan base.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, we talk about winning changes everything, and mm-hmm. it does, but it's also how you win, right? I say that, don't get me wrong, winning, I don't always say this, I don't care if it's a point, half a point, but I also think the way that you guys won, to Mike's point, with the Dirty Birds and the style and the charisma the team had, it had an attitude, it just fit perfectly. And that's not always the case
right.
when teams win. We had a Hawks team win 60 games. We were like,
yeah.
right? I mean, seriously.
It was kind of a starless team.
It was a great run, but it was like, that part of it is what we're missing. And I'm not saying you don't create that, guys. Mm-hmm. You don't just tell guys, hey, act tough. Mike and I talk about this or do this. But you have to have dudes that have that, and then it translates – to the fan base, and all of a sudden it becomes its own thing, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I agree. Because see, the thing about it, we had swag,
right,
as they call it now, but we had star power. We had Ray, we had guys in our market, you know, in the league, Jesse, you know, Big Bob, we had Tony Martin, you know, I mean, we had guys that had personality, Robbie,
right,
you know, the bomb squad or the dancing. But to me, the thing that made 98 also that people don't talk about, and I know we see in, let me give you a good example. I was watching, like, Jermaine Dupri. You remember they did a thing on Freaknik? Everybody's, they got a new thing on Freaknik.
Right, yeah.
See, that's one thing that they forgot, and it has to do with that 98, and that was one of the biggest years. The athletes was in this running this show, man. We was running the show Freaknik and all that, man. Shout out to Jay. They forget about that. We back then, all that stuff, man, in Atlanta in 98, in the 90s, it was a culture because we was in this hip-hop thing, too.
Right, right.
So we doing parties, we in events, I'm DJing, Bob owns Patchworks. We in the epicenter of a lot of stuff. So somebody didn't know about Patchwork Studios. Yeah. Bob Whitfield started that. So we doing parties. I'm from Athens. We involved, you know, Mike how it was. We was like turning up.
Yeah.
But then there was all this cool hip-hop culture.
Going on at the same time.
Too.
Yeah.
Going on at the same time. You know, all these dudes, like I say, like the JDs and all of, you know, the Lil Johns and, you know what I'm saying, all the rappers, the Outkasts and all those cats. So we in the 90s, we all putting it down. You know what I'm saying? So in Atlanta, that's what makes 98 part of it too, where people talk about all that, but people have the culture that the Dirty Birds were part of, we was like real swagged out. The real first time a team was like representing as a whole with people like a culture, a hip-hop culture. Because Jamal, you know, we rolling like
– yes.
Kind of like bootleg rappers. Like, we like bootleg. You know, we rolling like, you know, with the rappers. Because back then, again, the money that athletes made was pretty much, you knew. When they said I had $10 million, I got $10 million. So that was hard cash. And no disrespect to a lot of the rappers. A lot of them at that time wasn't doing it like we was.
No.
Now they doing it more than we was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to them kind of, you know, the guys who rap and guys in Atlanta culture. No disrespect. But back then, it was different. You know what I'm saying? So that 98 team has to do with really the culture of involved with rap and all that, too, is really what made the Dirty Birds. Because a lot of these people, right, they'd be like, man, we was doing parties. Mm-hmm. Look, it's funny. I was looking online. I seen Abe Wilson still throwing. Abe still. Bro.
He is.
Me and Ryan Cameron do a Super Bowl party there year. And it's like, what, 5,000 people there. I'm looking at, you see what I'm saying?
I do.
All the rap cats, it was really cool. And that, the Dirty Birds is bigger than that. And maybe one day when the true story is written about that team, when everything, it has to do with the culture. It's the 90s. We in it. We rolling.
It's interesting. Chuck, honestly, and you're right. The Freaknik doc was good, but it didn't bring all that. It didn't bring all that.
Nothing about no athletes in there.
Nope. It didn't bring all that.
But every party, that'd be, you're right, back in that day, it was co-hosted by dot, dot, dot. Remember the Buckhead rally?
Yeah, man.
Man, it was it, set man. It off. It was bananas. And then South Beach, everything until the game.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, it's always so good to see you, man. And Carl was giving me the secret guest thing, and I was like, who? One of our favorite guests, man. We love having you in the studio all these years, man.
My guys, I appreciate y'all. All love. Appreciate everything.
Congratulations
man.
On all
Thank
the success,
you.
Man.
I appreciate
Seriously.
It.
We are happy for you. And we're seeing this more and more around the league. This kind of position for where pass rush is being hired.
We just had Sean Merriman on yesterday's show.
He mentioned
And he
you.
Was just saying, yeah, I work out with Chuck Smith.
I used to train Sean Merriman.
He mentioned
right.
you.
I'm getting too old.
He mentioned you. But we were talking Sean about Merriman. Becoming a great edge rusher. And he was like, well, I used to come to Atlanta every year.
I asked him, I said, what is the secret sauce for being an edge rusher? Age. He said, you.
Yeah. That shows my age, y'all. Right.
Hey, it is what it is. Bro.
I trained Sean Merriman. When I think back, my career is amazing. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I trained Sean Merriman. It was pretty awesome to remember.
Yeah, well, he gave you a lot of love, and I know a lot of guys around the league are as well. Look, not what you guys wanted, but it was a hell of a year and another great year for you, and congratulations on all the success. Thanks again for stopping by, Chuck.
Man, appreciate y'all having me. Y'all
good,
know that.
Good stuff. Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Friday. It's happy hour now and every Monday through Friday. Make sure you check out our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're coming back, 6 o'clock hour, our conversation with BMAC. Yeah. And
everybody's asking us, how are we going to deal with this Kirk Cousins cap situation? Joel Corey, former agent capologist for CBS Sports, he'll tell you some things, Falcon fans, you may not want to hear.